commend those who have led us in our worship service this morning. So easy to focus. So easy for our thoughts to glide through the service. I hope God's pleased with it. I know that as a worshiper, it sure was helpful to me. Good to see James and Judy today. It's been a long time since they've been able to be out with us. And he said, I wanted to tell you we were coming. He said, I was afraid I might get ahead of myself, but they're here today. And I'm very thankful that they are able to be with us. Remember the heaven study this afternoon at 2:30 at Fred and Shirley Champion's home. My sermon this morning is going to be a very somber sermon. But at the same time, I really hope that it will be a tremendously motivating sermon. I feel like I have prepared it in that way. I want it to be very motivational regardless of what your age might be. It's really going to be a sermon about living your life to its fullest, regardless of your age. I might subtitle it, Giving God Our All in Old Age. I'm basing it off the lyrics of a song that I recently heard that moved me profoundly. And I'd like to share the lyrics with you and then we'll share the lesson together. Don't let the old man in. I want to live it some more. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body is weathered and worn. Just ask yourself, how old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? Try to love on your wife. And stay close to your friends. Celebrate the sundown each time. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body is weathered and worn. Ask yourself, how old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? He rides up on his horse. And you feel that cold, bitter wind. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man. Look out your window and smile. But don't let the old man in. A lot of lessons in it. I want to share with you a few. The first one is, the old man is coming. He's coming because aging is a natural process. It's common to all men. In fact, it may be this morning that the old man is already knocking at your door. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist simply said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I don't think God is saying sit there and try to count. But I think he is saying, I want you to know your days are limited. And because your days are limited, it ought to make you wise. It ought to give you a certain approach to life because you know your days are numbered. Because of that, we don't waste a single day. Because we know that when that single grain of sand hits the bottom of the hourglass, you won't ever get it back. Somebody has put it this way, trying to take our lives and put it to a clock. If your age is 15, the time is 10:25 a.m. If your age is 20, the time is 11:34. If your age is 25, the time is 12:42. If you're 30, the time is 1:51. If you're 35, the time is 3 o'clock. If you're 40, the time is 4:08. At age 45, the time is 5:15. If you're 50, the time is 6:25. By age 55, the time is 7:24. If you're 60, the time is 8:42. And if you're 65, the time is 9:51. And if you're 70, the time is 11 p.m. What time is it? When I wrote my book called Hoof Prints to His Prints, I wrote it because I wanted to speak while I was dead. My hope was that even my great-great-great-grandchildren would be able to hear a voice of reason. But I divided the book up into four parts: spring, summer, fall, and winter. I don't know. I am at least in fall. I might be in winter. What season is it? That's why God encourages us to remember Him, especially in youth. If you're young, listen to me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, the writer of Ecclesiastes simply says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of all your eyes, but know that for all of these, God will bring you into judgment." Young people, live it full. Live it right. But live it full. Use your strength and your vigor to rejoice in youth. Because chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain." Some days are a little bit dark. It's a time when the keepers of the house begin to tremble. The hands that have kept house begin to tremble. It's a time when strong men bow down. The grinders, your teeth, cease because they are few. Those that look through the windows grow dim, your eyesight. The sound of grinding is low, your hearing. One rises up at the sound of a burden. You don't sleep as well as you once did. All the daughters of music are brought low. Can't quite sing like you once did. You're afraid of height. You don't climb on ladders so quickly. There's terrors that are in the way. You're a little scared to drive. The almond tree blossoms, the whitening of the hair. The grasshopper's a burden, the lightest thing is heavy. Desire fails. Part of you doesn't want to do anything. Maybe that's a reference to sexual desires begin to somewhat be diminished. Man goes to his eternal home. The mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. Your spine. Or the golden bowl is broken. Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, heart attack. Or the wheel broken at the well. And then the dust will return to the earth as it was. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. The old man's coming. And because it is a process that is common to man, we need to know that. But know this, God will be with us all the way. In Isaiah 46, beginning in verse 3, God says to his people, Isaiah 46, 3, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you, even to your gray hairs. The old man's coming. And because of that, we need to celebrate and value every single day. In Psalm 42 and verse 8, turning back a few pages in your Bible now. In Psalm 42 and verse 8, it says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, Psalm 118 and verse 24, the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I used to sing a song with my kids. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Rejoice. Folks, every day is a day to celebrate. The dawn, the sunset, each day needs to be celebrated. The beauty of a new day is not that it's new for us. The beauty of a new day is that I can be made new today. And the beauty of a day is not that it marks a change, but that it marks a change in me. I've got a friend who asked his mother, who I think was 84 at this time. They were at a doctor's appointment. And my friend asked his mother, Mom, why do you think God has allowed you to live as long as you have with all of your aches and pains and ailments and difficulties and sickness? Her answer was, because he's still working on my character to make me more like you. You know as well as I do that each day needs to be valued because there might not be another. We all know James. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and buy and sell and make a profit. Come now. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this. Or we will do that. Every day is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. Both dawn and sunset reveal the majesty of God. With every sunrise, you need to awaken a part of you that no other animal on this earth has. Do you understand that we have something about us that no other animal shares? It's what the Bible calls our glory. And when you come to a passage like Psalm 108, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will give praise even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. What I'm saying is every morning, wake up. Wake up your inner self. Wake up your glory and sing from your glory. I will wake the dawn with praises. We need to value each and every day, every sunrise, every sunset. Don't let the old man in. Now, I want to say this. Don't let the old man in too soon. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not there, and you might preach a sermon to me and say, you just don't know, you young whippersnapper. But I believe to a large degree, it is a choice. Don't let the old man in. I want to live it some more. I can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Because I want to tell you, the old man wants to enter. He will whisper to you that it is time to give in. He will whisper to you that you can't do much anymore. And maybe some of that is true. But for the most part, at many stages, don't let the old man in. We let the date on the calendar dictate to us how old we are. Don't do it. Many give it to the old man. They give in to the old man. They give in to the old lady. And they no longer push. The song says, just ask yourself, how old would I be if I didn't know the day I was born? What that's saying is youth is a state of mind. Age is a state of mind. Would you be old if you didn't know the day you were born? God has invested in every single one of us. Jesus has come and He has left us with talents. He's left us with abilities. And He has gone back to heaven and He has invested in us. And listen, He is expecting a full return on what He has invested in you. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, you know the story. He gave to one servant 5 talents. He made another 5. He gave to another servant 2 talents, and he made another 2. And with each of them, even with different abilities, he said to both of them the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who had 1 talent buried it. Because he buried it, he didn't get any more. And even what he had, the master took away. And the words of the master are very somber. In verse 26, his Lord said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 2. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has invested all that He has. He has invested Jesus in us. Don't let the old man in too soon. Give God your all. Don't leave anything in the tank. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, we've quoted it many times. We probably quote it better than we live it. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Among preachers, there's one who probably made more profound impact upon me than others. I'd put one preacher above him. That'd be my Uncle Thomas. Sandusky. Cancer. Ravaging his body. Preaches his last sermon on Sunday. This is the moment. I wish I could show you the video. He staggers getting out of the chair because he wants to collect himself and gather his strength and sit up. Holds his Bible up, inviting people to come. And the thing I remember him always telling me, he said, I want to be tired when Jesus comes. He said, Jesus said he was coming to give me rest. He's coming to give me rest. If I'm already rested up, he won't have anything to give me. I understand the sentiment. He died on Thursday. 4 days later, he's dead. But he collected everything within himself. He refused to let the old man in. And that doesn't mean that you don't make adjustments. It doesn't mean that you might not be full time. It doesn't mean that. We understand that it's about adjustments. But it's about giving everything I've got left. Because he's invested Jesus in me. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. I chose it because I like the way the last part of it ends. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 simply says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You say, well, preacher, what can I do? Let your mind go wild for a little while. As you're sitting in your recliner, just go wild. Well, one thing you can do, you can attend, if at all possible. And listen. Again, I can tell you what you've got, what you've got. If God has now given you a pass, because of your age, okay. But if you have given yourself one because you have let the old man in too soon, you can take that up with God. Attend if at all possible. Don't excuse yourself until you must. Read your Bible. You read your Bible. Pray. Meditate. Make use of your phone. Make you a list of people that you can call every day and just say, I just wanted to check on you. It can be a 30-second one. Well, good. I'm glad you're fine. Talk to you tomorrow. Send cards. Volunteer at the hospital. Go to a community center. Make yourself some young friends. I've already decided I'm going to try to make me a lot of young friends because if I live a long time, it may be that a lot of mine are gone. I want to make me some young friends. Still bear fruit in your old age. Psalm 92, verse 14 and 15. Psalm 92, verse 14. The psalmist simply said, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. Does God believe you can still bear fruit even though you're an old oak tree? Philippians chapter 1, Paul is in prison. He doesn't know how many days he might have left. And in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, this is what he says. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in my flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Do you understand what he just said? Paul said, if I live another day, it will mean fruit. What he's saying is I'm going to bear fruit tomorrow if I keep living. Some say he was about 65 when he wrote. He He said, I'm hard pressed though between the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. He's saying, I want to stay so that I can help you grow, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by the coming of me to you again. Let me ask you a question. If you live another day, will there be fruit? Or will the day be totally wasted? I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm trying to challenge. This is going to seem like a contradiction right here. Don't shut out the old man completely. You know, the old man has things to share that nobody else can. You'd be crazy to shut him out completely. There's a side that needs to embrace what an old man can bring, what an old lady can bring. Wisdom is with the aged men. And with length of days comes understanding. The glory of young men is their strength. Check out that gun. Mine flops this way. I'm like the old Bugs Bunny commercial. Cartoon where he'd do that and it flopped down here. The glory of young men is their strength. That's your glory, young man. But you don't have what Don's got. You don't have what Doug's got or Richard's got or James has got. The splendor of old men is their gray head. They bring something to the table that, very frankly, most young men can't. Age, experience, knowledge, wisdom. Your attitude needs to be, as an older man, oh God, you've taught me from my youth. And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. And now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. God, keep me going so I can tell this new generation all about you and your power to everyone who is to come. People hear that. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. God doesn't know anything about a segregated congregation by age. God wants us all mingling in amongst one another. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, you know the context. I'll just hit a couple of verses. The older women, verse 3, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women. This is older women teaching younger women. And notice down in verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Listen. Young people. As I look back over my life, the people that have made the most profound effect on me have always been older people. Always. Seek them out. Get it while you can. Ask questions. It's sad to me that sometimes you can have a person who's got all this experience as a Christian and he's in your midst for a while and not one single question is asked. Ask questions. Some years ago, Paul Earnhardt was going to be in Gardendale. I called him up and said, can I have an hour of your time? And I loaded him down with questions. And I have forever been blessed by that conversation. My Uncle Thomas. Lots of that. There are some kids that know the value. One of them sits in your midst. Sent me this the other day. It looks like that picture's actually ridden a few miles. He said, I keep this in my truck. I wonder why. And it's not just men, my dear sisters. In Fayetteville, Tennessee, Louise Skidmore always said to me, She said, my body tells me that I'm old. She said, but in my mind, I still feel like a teenager. Isn't that true, older folks? In our minds, we still feel young. Well, some don't. They've let the old man in. But for the most part, in your mind, you still feel like you can go. And she did as long as she could. She got around. I would call her sometimes and say, Sister Skidmore, we had somebody there Sunday, and I didn't get their name. What was their name? And she'd go back to her little bedroom, her little desk she had there, and she had their name. She was kind of my Emily. She'd let me know who was there and give me their address and all that kind of stuff. Did I make you feel old? She was older than you at the time. I go places, people say, guess who just called me, Sister Skidmore. Guess what I got this week? A card from Sister Skidmore. One day she had a stroke. She's gone a long time. We didn't know if we'd ever see her again. One day I was teaching Bible class, and there was a side door to the building over here, and I'm teaching Bible class, and I hear the door crack open, and everybody's eyes turn and look right over there. And I'm looking at my audience, and tears are shooting out of people's eyes. Our matriarch was walking in the door. Sister Skidmore was coming in the door, valued greatly. I think about 2 Samuel, chapter 21. Now you think about this. This is King David. He has been a giant killer. He has killed him some giants in his life. And he's still going to the battlefield because he's not letting the old man in. But in 2 Samuel 21, he's out there on the battlefield. And it says in verse 15, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. David grew faint. And Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, was bearing a new sword and thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Now listen. Then the men of David swore to him and said, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. What they're really saying is, we're not going to let you go anymore. We cannot afford to lose you. You know, it's hard when you realize I can't kill giants anymore. But just because you can't kill giants anymore doesn't mean that you're not the lamp of this congregation. And don't you think for a minute that we don't need you. We need you. Don't let the old man be shut out completely. Then this one. Let the old man relish in family and friends. I'm going to pick up the pace here. Young couples, married love. Married love is a celebration of life. Married love as a Christian couple is a celebration of all that you share together. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, God says to the young man, he says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. That word enraptured means intoxicated. Listen to me, young people. God is saying it's all right with me for you to be intoxicated in married love. Love her with all of your strength. Love him with all of your strength. Because she's not going to be young all her life. You're not going to be young all your life. And as you become an older couple, you may find that some things inevitably change. But whatever spells love, and whatever spells intimacy for both of you, love one another to the best of your ability. Try to love on your wife. Try to love on your husband. I've told you about my friend. He's the one that would roll that finger on that front row. This is TJ. I have a Tuesdays with TJ. And I get a lot from TJ on Tuesday. He told me one time when his wife was feeble, he had gone to a place and they were trying to get into a parking spot. He said, my car was kind of blocking somebody else as I tried to give her a very short distance from here to the door of the place. And I'm trying to hurry and I'm trying to get that walker out of the back. And he said, there was an old man. And he said, behind me. And he said, take your time, sir. Take your time. Take your time, sir. Take your time. He said, mine's done gone up y'all. After Sally passed away, TJ sold his house and somebody, a friend, bought it and said, TJ, I promise you, I'm going to take this house and I'm going to restore it to its original glory. And TJ said, you can't, because the original glory of this house is not here anymore. Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. On my Tuesdays with TJ, this is what he said. He said, Jeff, when you get down to the bottom line, two things matter at the last. Your relationship with the Lord and having people around you that love you. The first one matters when you pass away. Treasure your grandkids. It's not about deer hunting. It's not about fishing. No country music, as long as she thinks we're just fishing, it ain't just fishing. It's life lessons. And when you read your Bible, you'll find that God is a God of the wild. Notice how many times God talks about wilderness and animals and storms and wind and lightning. And man, my God is a fierce God. There's one lesson after another you can gain. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. And draw them close to you. In Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18. Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18. Oh God, you've taught me from my youth. To this day I will declare your wondrous works. When I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Repeating that phrase. You've listened well. Here's my last point. The old man will ride up to your window one last time. There will come a day when he'll ride up and he'll say, it's time. It's time to leave. When he rides up on his horse, and you feel that cold, bitter wind, look out your window and smile. But don't let the old man in. Can I just say to you, it's okay, folks. It's okay. It's okay. The old man doesn't have to have the final say. I call death a glide. My soul just glides out of this body and into the next world. It's easy. Oh, on the body side, it may be a little rough, but the glide of the soul is easy as I just slide from one realm into paradise. And what rises up from the grave is a young man. I don't necessarily mean young as we think of young, but he has strength and he has vitality. What comes up from the grave is strong. God has the final say on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God says, beginning in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Verse 54, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? He ain't so bad. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's sum it up right here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A lot of times I'll go up to an old gentleman and I'll say, hey, young man. He'll say, oh, buddy, you better look again. Ain't no young man here. I'll say, oh, yeah, you're just a baby. If he's a Christian, I'll say, you're just a baby. You're just getting started. You're going to live forever. Are you old? You're going to live forever. Are you old? Not in that sense. In the Chronicles of Narnia, a kid's story, taking the story of Christ and applying it to kids, C.S. Lewis says all their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man. The lesson's yours. We sing a song now to encourage you to give your all.